Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Laura Della Corte, and today we are here with Mauricio Calderon Rico for the film Todos los Incendios, All the Fire. So how are you today? How are you feeling to be here in Locarno?
I'm feeling, well, very happy, very thankful for the opportunity to show our movie here in this festival that is so important.
Well, my first question is simple. Could you tell us, like, the inspiration behind, you know, Todos los Incendios and how the story evolved from your personal experiences too?
The story isn't autobiographical per se, but it has, like, some... I have something? But some some facts or anecdotes are autobiographical, and also that happened to a friend of mine. So I mixed up like the anecdotes, and that's the result. But also, this is my thesis of a master of screen or a master in screenplay I took. And I wanted to talk about my own acceptance when my mom. How do you say luto? The mourning of my father. I tried to remember when my mother started dating another man. Those themes I want to talk about, and also the fire. The fire was the first element I wanted to speak or to write about. I've always have fear. I was nothing like Bruno. I was exactly the opposite because I feared the fire. Even though I like it a lot when I see flames burning like in a fire pit or something. I really love the dance of the flames, but at the same time I feel fear. So this element, I want to confront my fear by writing this this movie.
I remember, just according to this, that you mentioned in your statement the Jean-Michel Basquiat's quote about, you know, fire and attention. And so how did this idea resonate with you, and the influence of the portrayal and then you made in the film, and the fact that actually, you know, is like to be scared but fascinating too by the fire?
Yeah, I think, Jean-Michel Basquiat said that quote. I'm a very fan of his art and his thesis, and I have this tattoo, Basquiat's trademark, yeah. And always see his universe like something of a teenage subject, because it's like a very chaotic world, and somehow we wanted that the movie could be in some dirty aspects in the image. Also, the sexuality is like that,
yeah.
Because when I was growing up, I saw that I was different than my other friends. But at the same time, I feared that. But at the same time, also like the sexual impulse that you want something, you crave something. So Bruno needs an outlet to let go those sexual impulse. Yeah. That is the outlet he uses to let go.
When, you know, Bruno's is like you said, use of fire seems to represent both hidden desire but also a cry for help. Mm-hmm. I personally feel very bad about his mom. Because I thought she was so egoist in that moment. It's like she leaves him alone because she wants to start like a new life, and it's like she forgets mm-hmm. that he has this child that is trying, you know, to find his way in the world. So I was very judgmental about his mom. And so how did you balance, you know, these contrasting aspects of his character through the narrative and, you know, even with his relationship with mother, the girl, his friend, when, you know, we discover that he's not only a friend and this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, for us, even though I'm the LGBT community, for us male writers and directors, sometimes it's difficult to give a portrait of women, of women characters accurate. So it's always tricky to write those characters. But well, it's curious because in first drafts of the screenplay and another cut of the film, we saw Bruno as the bad guy with his mom, yeah. even though she's now dating like another man, etc. We have to tone down a little bit of the badass Bruno was with his mother. So now in the final cut, it could be tricky that we saw that maybe the mother now is like not that very comprehensive with him. But I don't know, maybe it was something that went out in the final editing of the movie. And the relationship he has with these women, I think, even though he has his differences with all of them, he is very respectful of yeah. of them.
A lot, actually. And, you know, like you said before, there are two other aspects, like the virtual world and YouTube, that play a significant role in Bruno's story, but also the fact that the film touches his loss, mourning, and there is this like epistolary relationship, but that is like based on a lie. Mm-hmm. And so could you just elaborate a bit on how these themes interplay and mm-hmm. contribute at the end of Bruno's character's, you know, growth?
Yeah, well, yes, he starts like this epistolary relationship because she met Daniela like in a forum of people that like to put things in fire.
Yeah, yeah.
So they start like a conversation, and everything in reality is a lie because she wants a boyfriend that live in another city to tell her parents that she's not gay and etc. So he starts like motivating himself to go see her because he thinks he can assure, I'm not sure of the word, or reaffirm his masculinity with her. So he goes there and well, he discovers he's not the only one that is passing through a sexual discovery. And I also remember that I didn't wanted that the public, the ones that saw the movie, think maybe it's only a coming out of the closet story, mm-hmm. but it's like an opening of mind for Bruno, because maybe he doesn't know if he's gay or he's straight, only that he's opening his mind with his friend. That he's opening this door to desire. Yesterday, I saw a very good movie also, Riviere. Did you see it? I like very much when Karina tells Manon, don't you like girls? I don't like girls, I like you. So, I mean, I thought of that dialogue, but I wanted that the story could show that relation, but because Bruno maybe doesn't like boys, maybe because he's like in this heteronormative world that he has to listen this type of music and he has to learn to play soccer, yeah. and has male friends. That was a universe I grew up with. So I didn't have many reference, gay reference that I could see. Oh, I'm like his, like he. So maybe Bruno doesn't like boys. Maybe he does. But I like the phrase that I like you, as he can say that to Ian also.
Actually, I found out that it's genuine the way that Bruno, you know, hacks and he's talking, you know, in a very simple way, even when he call up the friend to say, oh, there he's here, you will be happy to be. It's like, you know, he's discovering. Yeah, he's trying to make him feel better after, you know, that he went away from him.
Yeah.
And so, in closing, what do you hope audiences will take away from Todos los Incendios, and if you have seen some reaction that you like, I mean, in the audience.
Well, for the first part, I think like the word that could define the movie and the thing I would like people to keep, it's acceptance. Not only sexual acceptance, identity acceptance, but the acceptance of what's going on in your life right now. I mean, his father is not coming back. His mother is in a new relationship, and that's not going to change. So to accept the present and take it like it is. I think that's the word of the movie. Also acceptance of his sexual desires. And on the other hand, a lot of people stop us outside the theater to talk about the movie, and the people that has teenagers, kids, son and daughters, they let us know that they are passing through something like that, and they saw their kids in the movie. Because today, that's why the movie is set in 2008. You can see that with the technology they use, like this little camera and the PC computer and the phones. Because I think right now, teenagers are very more open sexually. I have a nephew and a niece that they have like 17, 18 years old, and they are... maybe they born queer since they were little, because they don't think I only like women or only I like men. So I think 15 years ago, teenagers still have this sexual acceptance, fear of going out. Yeah, that's why we go way back to tell the story.
You did an amazing job, because it's like you have to meet different generation. When I saw your movie, I thought about the fact that nowadays a lot of parents are getting divorced or have new like these big families. And it's not right now still simple to upset that, and also the fact that you said. Like just 10 years ago or something like that, it was more difficult to express something that now is like natural. Mm-hmm. Like is, oh my God, I don't have to ask if you are gay or not.
Yes. And a lot of concepts like, for example, bisexuality or polyamorous, all that stuff, 10 years, 15 years ago was like something taboo.
And okay, I said it was the last question, but I have another one.
Right.
So, yeah, about the fire, the symbolism, you know, is very rich, and there is a lot of face too, representing the repression too, and the fact that is regeneration. So in order what we are talking about right now, how did you work with this symbolism visually and thematically? Is like, you know, the one we are talking about right now, but if it's something that you thought at the very beginning.
I think that's a little autobiographical in the movie. Because what sparks the idea is that my father is cremated. So I, maybe, You can say I was a little bit traumatized
by
the fact that he was cremated. So in the movie, that's why. Maybe when you see the movie, you keep thinking why
he's using
the fire. Maybe it's something like also only aesthetic. But no, when you see the whole film, you realize that it's because of the cremating process, because of that last compuerta.
Yeah.
How do you say? Well, this door that closes. Bah, that is a cremation chamber, and that's why the public say, that's why he's very obsessed with fire. And maybe I had it in the back of my mind when I started writing, and realized when I was writing that I was very touched about that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your work. So we've been with Mauricio Calderon Rico for Todos los Incendios, or the fire at Locarno Film Festival. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.